This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to our second hour of the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio and Tribune Tower on a sunny North Michigan Avenue this morning. And joining me here in studio is my good friend David Yepsen, host of the venerable Iowa Press on Iowa Public Television and former director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University at Carbondale, and before that, the acclaimed national columnist and reporter, a political reporter for the Des Moines Register. That business card's getting pretty big these days.
Good to be with you, Rick. Well, happy Father's Day.
And a happy Father's Day to you. Thank you so much for coming in studio, coming to Chicago. It was great having a chance Friday night to show you the Riverwalk a little bit.
Great city. And, great city, Rick.
Well, and now you, as
and
you said,
you're the best host for it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I wanted to talk to you first about national politics and Donald Trump, the issues of the special investigation. But before I do that, I wanted to play this cut of Oregon Senator Democrat Ron Wyden addressing Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, in the Senate Intelligence Committee, where he accused Sessions of not answering, using the term stonewalling, which, of course, a very popular Watergate-era term. And Sessions had a very terse response.
I am not stonewalling. I am following the historic policies of the Department of Justice. You don't walk into any hearing or committee meeting and reveal confidential communications with the President of the United States, who's entitled to receive confidential communications in your best judgment about a host of issues, and have to be accused of stonewalling for not answering them. So I would push back on that. Secondly, Mr. Comey, perhaps he didn't know, but I basically recused myself the first day I got into the office, because I never accessed files. I never learned the names of investigators. I never met with them. I never asked for any documentation. The documentation, what little I received, was mostly already in the media and was presented by the senior ethics public responsibility, professional responsibility attorney in the department.
So that's Attorney General Jeff Sessions. And one of the things I think is interesting in there, he said, you know, that the FBI, former FBI Director James Comey may not know that I basically recused myself the moment I got into office. I would bet that might also be news to President Trump, who has expressed apparently his displeasure over Jeff Sessions, his attorney general, recusing himself.
Well, I thought Sessions had a pretty good performance. Was on a couple occasions was very forceful, but this whole thing is the sad part about it to me is it is a huge distraction from the real problems facing the country. Republicans are frustrated because it's sidetracking their agenda, but you know, as an American, you look at all the issues facing the country, and we are eating up all kinds of time and political bandwidth dealing with this whole issue, and obstruction of justice now hangs over the presidency. That's a really electric term in our society, thanks to Watergate, and so now we're going to spend months with this crowding out other issues, and that is really a sad thing to have happen to the country.
Well, and at the same time, people point out that if it wasn't for Trump's own statements and tweets, who's to say it would, you know, have gotten this far?
Yeah, his own friends are saying, knock off the tweets, put it away. You know, I thought once his wife moved into the White House, you know, having your wife around, she can say to you, honey, knock it off. And, you know, that might have helped, but it doesn't seem to have made any difference.
No, and again, he's out tweeting today and talking about, you know, the witch hunt overshadowing his accomplishments.
And he not only does he step on his own message, he makes his situation worse. And the things he says, both in those communications, but also that he has said on the campaign, undercuts his legal case that he has. So
yeah, and we've seen that with the issues of the travel ban and where it's his tweets are basically become, and we had Sean Spicer say that those tweets are official White House statements. So now they're part of a legal record.
Yeah, and you hear a lot of Republicans, particularly in Congress, saying, God, we wish he'd quit. It was great in the campaign, but it's time to be president now.
Well, do Republicans have reasons to be concerned about 2018?
Absolutely. President Trump's job approval ratings are in the 30%. I mean, all-time record lows for a president at this stage. It's a long way to 2018.
Right.
No predictions at this stage. But history teaches that the off year of a midterm election for a president, particularly in their first term, is a tough time for the party at the polls. And Republicans are just kind of stunned. They won these great victories, and now here they are. Their program is bogged down in Congress. There's congressional investigations and Justice Department investigations. So their agenda has been sidetracked, and Democrats are energized. I think the thing that Republicans have to worry about is many of the people who voted for Donald Trump are not happy, and so they won't vote for Democrats. They'll just stay home. And Democratic voters who were not energized about Hillary Clinton in the presidential campaign, they are energized, and they'll be getting out to vote, and that's what's got to cause heartburn for Republicans.
And I want to follow up on that. We're going to take a quick break. We're speaking with Dave Yepsen. He's the host of Iowa Press. David's the former director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University at Carbondale. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, here in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by David Yepsen, host of the venerable Iowa Press on Iowa Public Television, former director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University. And David, before the break, we were talking about the energy factor of the electorate. And you mentioned about how Democrats that may not have been energized by the Clinton candidacy are now showing a renewed energy, and you're seeing, you know, across the country, districts, congressional districts held by Republicans, districts in many cases that Clinton did very well in, and even in districts that aren't, where you're seeing Democratic candidates and kind of a populist kind of movement. But I want to move back to Republicans, and you know, you have the fact that you had a Republican House and Senate. Now, granted, you know, President Obama was there as a check on them, but nevertheless, you already had seen during that period some concern among the Tea Party Republicans, kind of the core Republicans. Now you have Republicans have it all in Washington, and still nothing that shows any progress towards the agenda that many of them campaigned on.
Well, they thought they had, you know, they'd won the trifecta, so to speak,
right.
And it's time to start moving on our agenda, and all of a sudden they're bogged down. First of all, I think it's important to remember a lot of those new Republicans in Congress have never been in the majority, and so they're new to governing, and I think that's caused them some problems. The other thing that's going on in our politics, and I think it's something that's happening in Springfield, there is such passion in both parties. You can see the intensity of the debate, the anger, the Bernie Sanders voters, the Trump voters, that it makes it very difficult for compromise to occur. If you're a Democrat in Illinois, you have a hard time compromising on some of your core principles about things like workers' compensation or something, because you've got a political base out there that'll eat you alive and primary you if you do. And on the Republican side, voting for tax increases is very difficult. You're going to alienate Tea Party voters, Tea Party Republicans, and you're going to get primaried. I mean, I do give Governor Rauner credit for putting a tax increase on the table, because that causes him a lot of problems with his base. And so he's got to be intransigent and try to get something from the Democrats in the legislature to cool off that base. The activists in both parties making it very difficult for political leaders to come to the middle. And Rick, last week we saw it in Ed Gillespie's narrow victory in the Virginia Republican primary contest. He was supposed to win big, and you know he had some a real competition from the Tea Party Republicans. So I think that's something to keep in mind, that the activists in our parties don't give the people who are trying to govern much room to move right now.
Well, is this kind of a sign that establishment politicians of all parties are on the outs because of this, you know, polarizing trend of where the activists are?
Oh, sure. I mean, what other occupation do you have where people run for office saying they don't know it, they don't like government, they don't like the business, they don't have any experience in it, so elect me to office? I mean, the being in an establishment is very difficult because a lot of moderate voters they don't eat and breathe this stuff, they don't participate in party activities, and so you have true believers, zealots, passionate people on both sides who tend to drive the agenda in both parties. Makes it very difficult.
Well, is compromise a lost cause?
I think
because of the winner take all politics that we live in.
That's part of it. There's no middle ground. It's fueled by the internet technology. That's relatively new in our politics. Twitter. A political leader can't move very quietly and try to do things without being slimed and slammed on the internet. So it's a combination of all these things that are coming together that are making it very difficult, both in Washington and I think in Springfield.
Well, and then you heap on top of it the lack of civility.
Exactly, and that's just generally a problem in our society. And this one of the things, and it's sort of tied to this, the violence that we saw in Washington. The political dialogue is so inflamed as it is now, and you sort of give license to people who have mental problems, who are on the fringe, who have issues, that it's okay to act outside the norm. And so,
well, because the norm is shifting.
Yeah.
I mean,
and we've had intense times in our politics before, but it's not quite, this is something new, thanks to the communications technologies of the era that we live in.
And of course you have politicians that recognize the power of that social media that then kind of
feed
into that.
Throw gas on the fire. And then they complain about why they can't get anything done. So I think, and then they complain when people get passionate about it and you see some deranged people start doing crazy things in our politics. I mean, look at the campaign, Rick, where you had it was permissible to knock reporters around and spit on journalists covering the campaign. It was just the shoving matches that would occur in some of these.
And that cut I played from Mark Sanford on Morning Joe, where people in a senior center are, hurling around invectives.
So we got to find a way collectively as a society to dial it down a little bit, and I think that's going to be difficult to do.
Yeah, I don't know how, because if anything, it just keeps going the other way.
Right.
What can rein that in after it's out
there? And those of us in the media have some responsibility, because not just the news media, but I think general media, you get ratings, clicks, eyeballs. You get rewarded by being outrageous. So a politician doesn't get a reward for saying temperate things or moderate things or reaching a compromise. It's conflict that makes news. It's the hot rhetoric and soundbite. And so I think everybody in our culture bears some responsibility for this. We got to find a way to dial it back. But a lot of people that have been left out of the American dream we've got to find a way to bring them back into it too.
So maybe it's fitting when I see that there's talk that Jerry Springer's looking at running for governor of Ohio.
Isn't that something?
Because that just brings everything full cycle.
Yeah. Well, he was a political figure at one time, but then he opted to go into the
lowest common denominator media.
Yeah, right.
And what can I say? David Yepsen, host of Iowa Press on Iowa Public Television, former director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute, former national political reporter and columnist for the Des Moines Register. David, as always, a pleasure to have you here in the city of Chicago and a pleasure to have you on the show.
Great to be with you. Great to be in this town. Thanks.
We'll be back with more right after this.